It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're once again in the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading today chapter 4, verse 16 through 23. So please, that you would open your Bibles, that you could join along, read along with us today. As you're opening your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 through 23, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located at 18th and Church Street in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I love to study the Word of God with you, and I'm glad that you've joined us today. Now, if you found the book of the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with verse 16, and I'd love for you to follow along. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's house, the household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I ask you that you would please guide and lead us. Help us to see and to understand your perfect will for our lives. We know, first of all, most of all, Father, that we need to come to your Son Jesus, meet him at the cross of Calvary to confess our sin before you that we may be saved. I ask, Father, that you'll direct us to do that. Within ourselves, there's no strength that draws us unto the cross. There is nothing that would show us that we're such a filthy sinner, that we do things so wrong that we cannot go to heaven. We seem to think that we're good enough. Well, we're not. And I ask today that you would convict the hearts to show us our condition and then begin to grow us in your way and will. Now, please guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it is a wonderful day to come together and to study the Word of God. We have found ourselves through verse 13, 14, and 15 last time. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, 13 tells us. 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done. Oh, that we could hear those words. You have well done. You have performed well in giving out the Word of God. You know, as we stand before a righteous and a living God, I hope that we can all stand before Him and He will say to us, well done. Can he do that? He sure can't if we're sitting back and being like most of the churches, sad to say, that Paul spoke of here. Because then he goes on in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. There are not very many that remembered Paul. There were a few individuals, but very few churches that remembered Paul. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Isn't it something how that Paul remembered? And it blessed Paul's heart for him to know and remember again the folks that helped him in furthering the gospel. And for us to not take the credit. It tells us in verse 17, and we've been through this for a couple of times now, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. A gift that may abound to your account. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, the giving and the receiving back in the close of the 15th verse there. Last time we talked about the church and the communicating, and the communicating is participating and partaking, being a part of the fellowship, involving yourself in a part of the fellowship. Now, it says no church, no community of members, no body of members And see, that's the sad, because a sad statement here, because when we speak of the church, we are not talking about a building. We are talking about a body of believers. No body of believers, Paul says, come to help except you. Oh, see that you be that one. Don't worry about everybody else around you. See that you're the one that's in the house of God. You're the one that's participating. You're the one that's bringing people to Jesus. Young and old, bring them. Don't let that world convince you that you can't. You lose too much sleep if you come on Sunday night and Wednesday. Now, I got to get some sleep, boy. Well, I'll be ready for a day's work. You're not ready for anything if you're not, don't have your heart right and prepared yourself with Jesus. Now, you better prepare yourself to meet your God. You got to be much more worried about that than preparing yourself for tomorrow's work. And if you prepare yourself to meet your God, you will be ready for tomorrow for work. You'll put out a better day's work than you've put out any day of your life, the day that you've got your heart right with Jesus. Now it's time to do that. Let's get our heart right with the Lord Jesus. Let's begin that work. The giving is the gift. Concerning the giving, concerning the gift that you've given me, it's so important. The receiving, what I have obtained from you because of your willing and giving heart. Oh, I hope that that's your heart. I hope that you have a willing and a giving heart. I hope that you're participating in the service, in the worship of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not speaking just to be an usher or just to do things around the church in that manner, and that's one of them. But if you're truly a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're seeking the will of God, you will be participating in helping and building others. You will be a true and a real servant. You'll be helping, building up others, drawing them to Jesus, because you're telling them that they're a sinner and they're lost and they're going to die and go to hell if they don't come to Jesus. They're separated from God. They need to be put back in fellowship with God, and only by the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary, and the blood that was shed there can do that. Oh, my friend, that you'll come to Jesus, and you yourself will be saved, and begin that walk. And then that you will be a servant, that you will bring people to Jesus, to the cross. And then you'll continue. By you growing and helping them to grow, you will be growing together closer and closer to Jesus, knowing the will of God and the power of God. That's the service I'm talking about. All the rest will come. The needs of the physical building will come. And you'll have special talents that you can share and use in furthering the gospel and keeping up and working around the building proper and furthering the ministry in many different ways. But the most important thing is that you become that servant and you begin to share yourself. Be a part of the giving and the receiving. And then again in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Seemed like they chased him down wherever he was at. Paul right now is in Rome, in prison. And yet the church of Philippi sent this man Epaphroditus to come and to help him. And then he's sending this letter back with him in many things for them to learn, to help them to grow. And as he's closing this letter out, he's closing it out with a word of praise. I thank you. I thank my God for you, is what Paul continues to say. And again, not because I desire a gift in verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The desire of Paul is that he did not have a mansion here on earth to live in, that he did not drive a fancy car. He did not drive a big car. He didn't have a big bank account. He didn't care about any of those things. What his concern was that you're growing in Jesus, that you know Jesus as your Savior. Not that you just know about Jesus, but you know Jesus as your Savior. And now I'm going to help you grow in the Lord Jesus. And I want you to grow because I want you to have the benefit of it. I want to help you build your account. You have an account laid up in heaven, and I'm going to help you strengthen that account and build that account. At the cost of Paul's life, at the cost of Paul's wealth, he didn't care about any of those things. He cared about one thing, and that was helping the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus to grow. first of all, to come to Jesus. You've got to be saved first. So he gave out the gospel. And then he continued in the teaching of God's word and helping them and ministering to them however he could, in whatever way he could, to bring them closer and closer to Jesus. My friend, when's the last time that you helped a friend? I'm not talking about handing him some money. I'm not talking about going and buying him some groceries. Those things are very necessary many times. But I'm talking about something more, much more serious than that. I'm talking about you bringing somebody, finding them, sitting down with them, explaining to them, do you know that you're lost? Do you know that you're a sinner and you're lost? And do you know what the Word of God says concerning that? The cost, the wages of sin, the cost of sin is death. Do you understand that? I'm your friend. I care for you very much. And I want you to come to know my Savior, Jesus Christ, so he can be your Savior too. Oh, that you would come to Jesus today and do that. That you yourself would be saved, and then you yourself would go out and tell that sweet news to others. You'd begin to communicate, to participate, to fellowship, to give out. Give that free gift, that precious gift of salvation. Oh, that you would do that. And as you work to bring others to Jesus, and as you work to help them to grow in Jesus, and they begin then, you're giving, then they begin to give. And what you're doing is laying up for them treasures in heaven. You're helping them to build up that they may stand before Jesus one day. And they'll have something to show for the life that's been bought and paid for by the blood, by the death, by the resurrection of Jesus. What have you got to your account? Paul tells us in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full. How's your prayer life? What do you have to say when you go to the Lord in prayer? Do you go to him every night? God, I don't feel good. God, I'm sick. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, will you take care of them? I'm tired of them. That's most of our prayer life. Paul closes this letter out to the church of Philippi. He's going to send it back with Epaphroditus as he returns. Epaphroditus showed up to give some material things to Paul and share with him some of the spiritual things that are going on, lift him up. Well, Epaphroditus got sick, very sick, sick almost to death. And then Paul, I'm sure, prayed for him. God healed him, and now he's well enough to return home. The church of Philippi has put this dear brother as a gift, as a loan to Paul, to help Paul. And then Paul ends up helping Epaphroditus, and now that he is restored, his health is restored, now he's ready to go back. And Paul can share with these people that I have all. And I abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And here's how I received those things. It may be in something very small, and yet it was all that the church of Philippi could give. Because maybe they didn't have much to give, but they gave it all. To help this dear brother, to pick this dear brother. When they heard he was in prison in Rome, they shipped this brother Epaphroditus over there. It says, go help him, pick him up, lift him up. I'm sure he has needs. We've helped him many times and we'll help him many times again. And when Paul received this gift, it was so full to him. No matter how small it may seem to us, it was a very great gift. Because it showed Paul the heart that the people had. They had a heart for God.
They had a love for Jesus. That's what it showed him. Because you see, Paul couldn't pay them for their time. Paul couldn't reimburse them in any way for the time and the effort that they have put. There was no gain going to come from them doing this to Paul as far as this world and this earth is concerned. As far as man is concerned, there's no gain. But they weren't looking for that. And they weren't looking for gain. They were looking to help a dear brother that helped them. Do you see what the heart of God is? Is to help a dear brother, a dear sister. At no payment back. At no desire of repayment. Just come to help. Are you understanding a little bit better concerning they did communicate? They did participate. They did fellowship. Are you beginning to understand just a little bit more? Just a little bit more. Are you beginning to understand what the Word of God is telling us here through this man named Paul as he writes back to the church of Philippi? I have all. I abound. I am full. Paul's in prison. Paul has nothing. Paul has everything because Paul knows Jesus. Paul walks with the Lord Jesus. What's this world done for you? Has this world bankrupt you? Are you going through a very difficult time financially? Are you going through a very difficult time in your marriage? Are you going through a difficult time with your children? What's going on in your life? I want to introduce you to somebody. And that somebody is Jesus. I want to tell you about my Savior. My Savior that died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago to save me. He took all my sins away because, you see, I'm a sinner. I'm a lost, rotten, filthy sinner, and I needed a Savior. Because I was dying in my sin. I'm totally and completely separated from God. I had no fellowship with God. I couldn't pray to God. There's only a prayer, first prayer. You know, you hear people constantly saying, I prayed to God and God answered my prayer. And yet those people don't know Jesus. God's waiting for one prayer. And that prayer is to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. He's waiting for you to come with a broken heart, repent, turn unto Him, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Trust by faith in Jesus. That's what He wants to hear. Now, will you come to the Lord Jesus today that you can say, begin for the very first time, I have it all. I abound. I'm full. Paul can say that because he's walked with Jesus, and now he got this very special gift from these sweet folks. I have received of Epaphroditus the things which you sent me. Paul was so excited. It was such a blessing to Paul. It was an odor of a sweet smell. A sweet smell. A sacrifice. Acceptable. Well-pleasing to God. It was such a wonderful, great sacrifice, great offering. Not in what it was, but it was how it was given. You see how important it is that you come into the house of God and you have fellowship and you participate, you worship. Because when you begin to walk with Jesus as you should walk with Jesus, when you begin that, you'll find, my friend, that folks will do things for you. May not be a financial gain, but it'll be something that'll be done towards you that is a help to you. It lifts you up because it shows you that they're growing. There's nothing greater and a blessing in this world than to see people that maybe you led to the Lord Jesus, or you helped them to grow closer to the Lord Jesus, and they begin their giving of their time and of their talents, wanting nothing in return. Wanting nothing in return. In this world, when you do something, you want something for it, don't you? People are selfish, prideful. I'm not going to do that. They've never done anything for me. That's a cold heart. A heart that comes and says, how can I help? Oh, does that brother, that sister have need? Oh, I've got that a cousin of mine that needs Jesus. God, will you please help me to get the door open to talk to them about your son, Jesus, that they can be saved. A sweet smell, a sweet odor. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. I hope you love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love studying it, searching it, poring over it. I study the Word of God many different hours of the day. I love studying the Word of God. Every time I get a few minutes, I've got my Bible open studying. Chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. How many times have you said, well, I've been praying about this and God said to do this or to do that? To do good and to communicate. To do good and to participate. To do good and to participate. Forget not. How many times when God had you do something, it was for your gain? That's not what God said at all. It's just something you drummed up and you convinced yourself that that's what God wanted. You hadn't been praying about it. You asked Him one time, then you went and did it the way you wanted to do it. Oh, please, my friend. You become involved in the work of Jesus. In giving out of the gospel, telling people how to be saved. Paul looks at this and knows it's a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. A sacrifice. But I have all and abound and am full. Paul meant that from his heart. Having received of Epaphroditus this sweet gift that you brought to me. Next to salvation and the strength and power of God that Paul received from the Lord, I think this gift was probably the most precious thing. Next to the gift of salvation, the strength and the walk that he had in Jesus, this gift was a wonderful gift. It's a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Not well-pleasing to Paul, not thank you and stick it in my pocket and off I'll go and boy, I can buy that car I wanted. Boy, I can buy that house I've wanted. We've been saying, I've been praying to God all the time that He'd send that to me. That's not Paul's life. That's not the life of the Lord Jesus. That's not the life of the Church of Philippi, nor should it be our life. Our life should be well-pleasing, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That should be our life. And we need to walk a very humble, a life of a servant, serving. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. the word well-pleasing there in verse 18 is to be fully agreeable, to be acceptable. That's the way Paul looked upon this gift, knowing that it was a gift that was very, because it came from the heart. Not because they felt that they had to give and was forced to give, but it came from the heart. Now, how do you give unto God? I'm talking about your time and your talents and your money. How do you give? Do you give as if it is a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God? That's the way Paul gave his whole life. To be a sweet smell, a sweet savor, a sacrifice, something that was acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And Paul goes on here and says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Oh, my friend, when you got God on your side because you have turned your life to him, then he becomes your strength. Then he becomes your wisdom. And Paul can say here that my God, Paul did not speak to these folks and say, our God. Paul knows the Lord Jesus personally. And it's just like saying something that my earthly father would give me. And I would say, my father has given that to me as a gift, as a present. Paul spoke to of his heavenly father the same way. My God. Personally. Paul knew him. Paul walked with him. Paul preached of him. Paul brought a multitude of folks to him. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Do you want to have my God to give you riches? Well, he's there to give it to you. But you see, we have to have something taken care of first. And the first thing we need to take care of is your relationship. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with God right now is nothing because you have not come to Jesus. God the Father has set it up that you can come and receive a free gift of salvation and you can get back into fellowship with him. But you first of all have to come by faith, repent, turn around. You turn around and turn to Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, please, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I need you. And he will save you and pick you up. And you'll begin to walk and talk the same way as Paul because you'll experience and know the Lord Jesus. Know how joyful it is. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You can't outgive God your time and your talents. You can't outgive him. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute. Welcome, embrace, the scripture would say, every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Where is he? He's in Rome. Those folks that I have brought to Jesus, they want to welcome you too, unto the sweet family of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's been a sweet study in the book of Philippians. It's a joy to search the Word of God. But I always end with this question. What are you going to do about Jesus?